Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Morning in your Bible. One good thing about Brother Bruce messing up, nobody will know when I do now.
And I did that for your benefit.
I appreciate that so much. You know, if you follow the guy that hit the home run, nobody knows you struck out. They're still talking about his home run. Oh, me. Revelation chapter 16. I want to read one simple verse for our text today. We'll look at some other verses in this chapter and many other chapters today. But verse number 16, Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and this morning we can worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we have the privilege and the freedom to come together and honor you and exalt you and raise up your Son who died for our sins and give us life eternal. We ask you this morning now, Lord, as we look into your word, reveal to us more about you. Let us lift up thy Son. Let us this morning exalt him. And for all that you say and all that you do today, may Jesus Christ receive the honor and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. You know, Jesus said in Matthew that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. This morning we are on the broad way headed toward destruction. And why is that this morning? Why are we on this broad way? Why are we headed for destruction? Very simple. We chose the wide gate. We don't want to be narrow is the gate and straight is the way, Jesus said. But we don't want the narrow gate. We want the wide gate. And so this morning we're headed toward destruction. Someone said the other day, I don't know where we're headed. Well, I got news for you today. The Bible tells us very simple in our text this morning that we're headed to Armageddon. We're headed toward that last battle that God is going to fight here in this world. Now, there's going to be another battle after the millennium, and we'll talk about that maybe some other time. But at the end of this age comes a place where God fights, and God wins, and God is victorious. And God is exalted this morning, and that place is going to be in a valley outside Jerusalem, in the Valley of Megiddo. Napoleon said the perfect battlefield of the world. And here this morning we find that the Bible tells us that God is bringing the world together to do battle against himself. They're headed toward Armageddon. And that's where this world is headed this morning. But now, how do you get there? How do we find, and how does this world find itself headed toward Armageddon? And how does it get there? Well, the Bible gives us the answers this morning if we're willing to look at them and accept what God says in his word. We find this morning that in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find that the first step on the road to Armageddon is going to be what we would call when the church is caught up. When the church this morning is taken away and taken out of this world. We usually call and speak of this as the rapture of the church this morning. It's caught up. It's taken out. It's raptured. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The last verse very simply says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The great comfort of this age is the rapture of the church. It's the time when Jesus comes to take his bride, to take his people out of this place that we call earth this morning. Somebody said, many years ago, I was sitting in a Bible conference up in Memphis, Tennessee, and Dr. Ed Maccabee and Dr. Sheldon Jones were there, and they were speaking each day and each evening, and I was sitting in the little fellowship hall there with them and drinking some coffee one morning and talking to them, and Brother Ed looked over at Dr. Jones and said, "Well, Sheldon, do you think that the rapture of the church will even cause a problem on the Sunday morning golf course?" Brother Sheldon looked at him and said, "Ed, I doubt it's going to really disturb the Sunday morning church service." Now you think about that, and I thought about that for a long time, and I began to understand what he was saying. I begin to understand as I look around our world this morning, as we are seeing a world that's filled with apostasy. We have departed from the truth of God. We have left aside the Word of God. And we are abandoning the faith of God this morning. Everything that God has written into His Word today, we see in this day, in this age, we don't want that narrow way anymore. We've chosen the wide way. And this morning I thought about that a lot this week, what Brother Jones said. Because you see this morning, what really going to take place, only the real Christians, only the real believers this morning, only those who are really saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God are going to be taken out and raptured at that time. All those this morning who are counterfeit and who are pretending this morning will not be taken out. They'll be left behind. And I dare say, as Brother Jones said, it probably is not going to make much of a ripple anymore in the morning worship in many churches today. You see, there's a lot of counterfeits this morning who are living in this world, who are masquerading today as believers, who are this morning saying one thing on the outside, but on the inside is totally something else. And you know, this morning, I do not know who's a hypocrite. I do not know who is a counterfeit. I, this morning, do not know who is simply portraying on the outside that they are a believer. But this morning, let me explain one very simple, great truth to everyone under hearing of my voice today. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knoweth them that are His. A lot of counterfeits. I don't know who they are. I don't know who's sometimes a real Christian and not. Now, we're guided by the Word, and I'm not getting into that, but I want you to understand there's a lot of people today who have fooled many people down through the years. But you can never fool God. The Lord knoweth them that are His this morning. You see, you can look just like a Christian. You can talk just like a Christian. You can act just like a Christian. You can do all the things that Christian does. But are you really real? The Lord knows that. I remember many years ago when I was in basic training, and during that time they had spinal meningitis was a big thing at that time, and they couldn't figure out why that people were getting in spinal meningitis and dying, and they came up with this theory that possibly it was because they were grouping people from different geographical regions together, and this was causing that. So they put you in platoons of different, you had to be, I was in from Alabama, Mississippi, and Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And that was the group we were put into, a few other states and so forth. And so they wound up with five platoons, and when you march, they can only march with four. So they would put us in. The first squad went with the first platoon, the second squad with the second platoon, and so forth. And so when we marched, that's the way we'd go. But one morning we were going to the rifle range, which was about 10 miles, and we didn't get to go on a truck. We got to walk. And it was cold, and we were going up through there, you know, and we were marching. And I'm in the first platoon, and we're just going through there, and all at once you hear them shout, "Port Arms!" And you know what the next command's going to be? Double time, march. And everybody starts running. So here comes the second platoon. I thought, surely we're going to run in a minute. Third platoon. Then here comes the fourth platoon. Well, the sergeant we have, I can't remember his name, we called him Motor Mile. He hollered, "All right, gentlemen, port arms." And when the first platoon run, it run all the way. And so we start running. We go past the one platoon, this platoon. I get to thinking, well, I'm going to be wore out the time I get there because I'm already wore out. I said, they don't know which platoon I'm supposed to be in. So the next time we passed one of them dudes done started walking, I just stepped out and went to walking with them. Guess what? That guy knew I wasn't supposed to be there. He hit me right on top of the head with his fist. That's back when they could do that. And he drove that old helmet plumb down into here. And he said, "Boy, you get up there where you're supposed to be. The Lord knoweth them that are his." I thought I'd fooled everybody, but I didn't fool nobody. Cannot fool the Lord this morning. Only the real will be taken out. When the real is taken out, then things are going to get really bad. You see, God's people are going to be gone. And this world is going to get what it's wanted for a long period of time. A world without God. A world where there is no godly influence whatsoever. Now, I understand this morning the Holy Spirit is a person and not an influence. But listen to me this morning. The Bible says that when he that now lets is taken out, the Holy Spirit is holding back a lot of things that this world wants to do right now. And he's doing it through the influence of God's people in this world. The church and God's people at this hour are kind of an umbrella over this world. One day that protection is going to be removed, and it's literally going to become a world without God. And when God's people are gone, it's going to be a terrible and a horrible place in which to live. So what's going to happen next? Well, if you want to turn with me, you can turn there. I'm not going to read a great deal of it today, but in Revelation chapter number 6, we find that immediately following, as John is caught up into the heaven and begin to describe the things that people will be doing in glory this morning and what the church is going to be doing between the time of the rapture and the return of Christ and visible power and great glory to this earth. There are seven seals that are open in Revelation chapter number 6, and the first four seals depict for us four horsemen today. And you can begin to hear their hoofbeats even as they're trying to start off this morning. I used to preach a sermon on this particular text this morning called Mounted and Ready to Ride. Because on the horizon today and in time today, we find that these four horsemen, I believe, are mounted. And they're ready to ride upon the world scene today. And you see, this morning we find that here are going to come an Antichrist riding upon the white horse. The Bible said that when he had opened the first seal, and I saw and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, when God's people are gone today, how are we going to explain that? How are they going to explain that? I used to wonder, what in the world, and how in the world are people going to, and what kind of explanation is going to be given this morning? Well, here comes a man riding, and he'll have the explanation. He'll have the answers. He'll know exactly what to say. Somebody says, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. How in the world can all of these people be taken out, go missing, and suddenly somebody has the answer and people believe him?" Well, listen to me. People are very gullible this morning. Number one, understand that people are very gullible this morning. They will believe many things that aren't true. as the man said, a sucker born every minute. Sometimes we read about the scams that people fall for. We read about the things that happen, and we wonder, how in the world and how could somebody be so gullible? Well, listen, they're going to be gullible today, but not only that. You see, God gives us a real answer in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2 this morning, where he tells us exactly why people will believe what they're going to believe. And why this morning that it's not going to be any problem with it. Now listen to what he said. And when the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Now here's the Antichrist. He's coming on the scene. He this morning is going to come conquering and to conquer, riding up on the white horse, looking like the white knight coming to the rescue. But now notice what he said in verse 10, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, that because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now listen to me very carefully. A lot of people tell me sometimes, well, preacher, I'll just wait and be saved after the church is raptured. Sorry, you're not going to be. You've had the opportunity to hear the gospel. God has sent forth his people and his messengers. He sent forth his message. And the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart. And you know that what the Word of God is saying is true. And you say, no, God, I don't want that. I refuse that. I choose the wide gate. I choose destruction today. The Bible says here, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish because what? Receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Your chance, your opportunity is now sealed. God's people are gone. And now, forevermore, you're lost. You see, it says in verse number 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And literally, the lie. You see, understand this. God knows them that are his, and God is always in control. You see, we think the Antichrist is in control, but God's in control. Deception. That's the Antichrist's main tool. And the Bible says, and God shall send them strong delusion. Proverbs says, he being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Strong delusion. God today is in control. And people are going to believe the Antichrist today because literally they're going to be under a delusion, a strong delusion. Because they what? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That they might all, what, be damned who believeth not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, they chose the wide gate. And now God will give them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Let me give you an illustration of that. Suppose a man goes to a church and he hears the preacher and he hears the gospel. And he knows that the punishment and the judgment of God is severe and serious. He knows there's a living place called hell. And the Holy Spirit convicts him of his sin and points him to Calvary. And he gets up and walks away and says no to God. A little while later, he runs into this man, and the man says, I want to tell you about my religion. He said, well, what about your religion? The man begins to explain. He said, What if I don't believe it? Will I go to hell? The man said, oh, he said, there's no hell. God doesn't punish anybody. And he said, you're the man I want to hear. I don't want to hear about that. I want the wide gate. I want pleasure. I want everything without punishment. And so God will send you a strong delusion that you believe the lie. People are on the road to Armageddon today because this morning the church is going to be raptured. God's people are going to be taken out. And then we find that here comes the Antichrist riding upon the scene, riding the white horse, wearing a crown, the Stephanos crown, not the diadem crown. And he's going to be riding that horse. People are going to stand in awe and wonder of him and say, who is like this man? And they'll believe every lie that he tells because God's still in control. And then we find that God's judgment begins to be poured out. You find that in Revelation chapter number 6, you find that as the seals begin to be opened, the second seal is opened, and there was a red horse that goes out. Then there's the black horse, and then there's the pale horse. The red horse of destruction. Peace is only a brief time. The black horse today of dearth, a great famine sets in, and then the pale horse of death if you don't bow down to the Antichrist. You see, that brings us this morning to Revelation 16. Verse 1 said, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. You see, God's judgment's now going to be poured out on a world without God. Now, what is and how is it going to be in this world without God today? Well, we find that first of all, and the first went and poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast on them, and upon them which worshipped his image. You see, the Antichrist declares himself to be God, as we've already studied. He doesn't just say, I speak for God. He said, I am God. Bow down and worship me. You can't buy, you can't sell. People take the mark of the beast. They worship the image, and they're now doomed and damned. And the Bible says that when this first angel pours out the vial of the wrath of the judgment of God, there'll be sores this morning that will come upon men. And all this morning from their bodies, all this stuff begins to ooze out of their bodies. I get to thinking about this, and it'll nearly make you sick when you begin to think about the terrible pain that they're going to endure, the terrible corruption that's going to be coming out. It's literal corruption coming out of their bodies this morning. Bible says this morning that this is going to be poured out upon the men of the earth. How sad that is. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now they're living in bodies racked with pain and sores. I read that the other day, and I thought back to last summer when I had the shingles. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the most powerful, painful things I've ever endured. Can you imagine having it over your entire body? The whole world today, God's judgment being punished on men. And the Bible said, and the second angel poured his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. I'm going to tell you what. You got nothing to drink? Pollution's everywhere. Can you imagine the stench this morning? Can you just imagine how terrible it's going to be? poison. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the fifth angel poured his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And but verse number 11, listen to what they say. How sad this is. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They blaspheme God. They curse God. They do not repent of their deeds. We live in a world that's similar to that today, but horrible it's going to become. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water there was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The Euphrates River, mighty river flowing through. Saddam Hussein's army could not escape because of the Euphrates River. This morning, God one day will dry that up. The way of the kings of the east will be prepared. We used to say, well, you know, they're not very powerful. Look at China today, Japan. All of those kings of the east going to come be shifting over where they're headed for. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devil working miracles, which go forth among the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You see, God's still in control. He's pulling everything right toward Armageddon. He's got it going right where he wants it. He sends these unclean spirits. These unclean spirits come and they drag them right down to where he wants them. And they're all gathered together. And here, as they're gathered together, something's going to take place. Let me read it to you very carefully and we'll be through. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, fine and white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it shall he smite the nations, and with it shall he rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their names gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And they were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with fire, a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. They're gathered to Armageddon. They're here to do battle for the supremacy of the world. But God has drawn them there not today for them to fight against each other, but they're there today because God himself is going to have a battle. And his son Jesus Christ is coming back in power and great glory, riding up on a white horse, and the armies of God this morning are going to follow him down in the valley of Megiddo. But we have to do no battle because Jesus Christ is the battle this morning. He is the victorious one. And he defeats the battle this morning, and he defeats the enemies there. The Bible said that the blood shall run to the horses' bridles. This morning I want to tell you what a scene we find, because the victorious Christ of glory this morning is coming back to this world. That's why Paul could say, comfort one another with these words. Our hope today, and our hope today, is based on one thing, that's Jesus Christ today. There is no hope without Jesus today. This world is headed toward Armageddon, but thank God I'm headed toward glory. I'm not headed toward Armageddon today. I'm coming to Armageddon, but I'm going to be following Jesus as he comes in power and great glory. I want to tell you this morning, if you're unbelieved and you're not saved today, and people who this morning go into eternity without God today, who live upon this time when the church is raptured and Jesus comes again, what a horrible, horrible time for them. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5, you run with footmen, what are horses going to do? I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this world is getting worse. It's headed toward Armageddon today, and you've got two choices. You can be in Armageddon, or hallelujah, you can be in heaven. I believe I'd rather be with Jesus today. And Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The gospel of the Son of God today is that God this morning loves you. He sent his Son to save you. He went to Calvary and gave his blood for the payment of your sin debt. He went into a grave and came out the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and now he sits down at the right hand of the throne of God, able to save them to the uttermost that are willing to come to God by him. You can choose the narrow gate or the wide gate. You can head toward the broad road of destruction toward Armageddon, or this morning you can head toward the straight way, which heads you straight to heaven today. That's your choice this morning. What is your choice today? Is it Armageddon or is it glory? That's what you have to decide for yourself. The wide gate or the narrow gate, which is yours this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time.